The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he would send the crowds away. After sending the crowds away, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, while the boat, by now far out on the lake, was battling with a heavy sea, for there was a headwind. In the fourth watch of the night, he went towards them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But at once Jesus called out to them, saying, "Courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." It was Peter who answered, "Lord," he said, "if it is you, tell me to come to you across the water." "Come," said Jesus. Then Peter got out of the boat and started walking towards Jesus across the water. But as soon as he felt the force of the wind, he took fright and began to sink. "Lord, save me," he cried. Jesus put out his hand at once and held him. "Man of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" As they got into the boat, the wind dropped. The men in the boat bowed down before him, said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Fear, rational or irrational, is part of life. It's also an enemy. It can lock us up inside ourselves. It can prevent us having a full life. And of course, there is a lot of fear around at the moment in so many different ways. We often use the German word Angst for a sort of a fear which affects not only individuals but whole communities or nations. And I know many people are fearful of coming out or fearful of what's going on, obviously with a pandemic, but other fears as well. Fear for the future, globally. And fear, of course, the might maybe of China or of Russia or elsewhere. Fear of terrorism, fear of knife crime, fear of whatever it is, a long list we know that could go on. I was thinking some of the words that come from the readings today are all there, you see. Fear of the mighty wind that tore the mountain and shattered the rocks. Fear of earthquake, fire, sorrow. Paul speaks of mental anguish, of being cut off. The disciples, a heavy sea, terrified, fright. Peter sinking. So I think you get the picture that when we cannot see the way ahead, even wonder whether God is truly at work in our lives, there's great fear. Some people, of course, think that if you have faith, then everything in life will be plain sailing. But I think we all know each other well enough to know that never is the case. But at some time or other, we all face difficulties, trying circumstances, situations in life. And faith doesn't shield us from those hard or harsh knocks. And it's at those times, maybe we're almost feeling the Lord asking us to walk on the water, which we think we can't do because we're going to sink. And sometimes we feel that we are sinking. That's why Elijah, a man of great faith, he was being persecuted and threatened with death. And he's on for the run for his life, and he seeks refuge in the cave at the mountain of God. But really, what he wants from God is an end of it all. In his service of God, he's upset the queen Jezebel, the pagan Jezebel, and she's determined to have him killed. So he's had enough. So he doesn't just want to resign from being God's prophet. He's sick of life, and he says, "Let me die." But then these earth-shattering things then happen to him. So there's the frightening mighty wind, the earthquake, the fire, all powerful, all threatening, all frightening. But as for Elijah, they're only passing. I know that might sound simple, but in a way it's true, isn't it? It's like the wind, and the wind that can tear things, but it passes. And an earthquake will quake, and the life will not be the same, but it passes. They're transitory. And then Elijah hears that still, obviously we notice it's a still small voice, but just to sound a gentle breeze. And Elijah listens to him, which of course is picked up in the psalm. I will hear what the Lord God has to say. Because that's what Elijah did. He listened to what the Lord was saying. And that psalm's a community, as it were, lament. In the midst of trouble, the assurance given that God will restore his people and seemingly irreconcilable things come together. So you get the words help, mercy, faithfulness, justice, peace, prosperity. All come. And you see, we look ahead and we think, what's it going to be like? What's going to happen? What's it going to be like by Christmas? Will we be back together? Will it ever be the same? No. But don't be afraid, the Lord is saying through that psalm. I will let us say, O Lord, your mercy. Give us your saving help. I will hear what the Lord God has to say. God always bringing good out of evil, because he can always do that and always does that. That's why St. Paul, in that second reading, you see how they're always linking together, has just been affirming the triumph faith that he has in God. And the people, of course, that have rejected that. But he nevertheless feels that the love of Christ is victorious over all that will try to frustrate it. And so the disciples in their time are in this battling with a headwind, but then seeing him think it's a ghost, and it says they're terrified. They cry out in fear. And then they hear the words that you've heard me say so many times, that come over 365 times in the scriptures, similar words, not just exactly the same words, it was courage, desire, do not be afraid particularly. And so Peter finds himself in a dangerous spot and, like ever, jumps in with both feet because he decides to deal with his fear. So he shouts to Jesus, who says, come, which he does. But as soon as the wind and the waves blow, his faith fails and he starts to sink. And that's that same sort of mixture of faith and fear that can assail us at different points of our lives as well. And in a way, that's why Peter is the model of the very human journey of faith. He seeks, he steps, he falls, he's saved, he praises, and then it repeats itself all over again. Just read the Gospels, you know that only too well. Read it again. He falls, he steps, he seeks, he's saved, he praises, and on it goes. But he had the good sense to call out for help. If you remember last week, the end of the sentence was, Lord, come to our assistance. Lord, we're crying for your help. And it seems with Peter, every time he tried to show his faith, he failed. He betrayed Jesus verbally, as well we know. He ran away. You remember at one point Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, because he took the side of Satan. Today, he took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink. But every time he fell and his faith failed, he rose up again and he came back to Christ and he grew stronger in his faith and closer to him. And so he had the good sense to at least call out for help. And he knew, reaching out to Christ, who was going to be his rock. I know Jesus says Peter's the rock that he's going to leave behind, but Christ is the rock. We're built on the rock of Peter's faith, but Christ is his rock. And so for the failures of Peter only make him love Jesus more and more. His reliance on Jesus. The sea, and of course we're surrounded by sea, is often used as a metaphor for life, of course, isn't it? The life of faith has its own dynamic of challenge, discomfort, risk. I'm a good sailor, and I don't say little boats, but no, on a big ship, I'm a good sailor, but I'm just not afraid or worried, because I feel that that's what sailors are every day. But what we all know is, sometimes we go down. But that, as we know, is life. And the readings are saying today, no matter how dark life might be, no matter how high the waves are, however rough the sea is, Jesus is able to reach out and able to lift us out of life's trauma. If only we trust him and keep our eyes fixed on him. And of course, as well as the sea, the image of the church as a ship is very ancient. Always the nave of the ship, you think, thinking the way the shape of a church is, if it was upturned with the sea, it would float, you see. That's always that image there. And, of course, we're in the bark of Peter. In the Old Testament, the whole of creation is saved in that ship of Noah's Ark. In the New Testament, Jesus is seen preaching from Peter's boat, saving it from storms and commanding that be steered to the other side or to put out into the deep. By putting Peter back into the boat, Jesus is showing that even the prince of the apostles is saved by remaining in the ship, remaining with his eyes fixed on Jesus. Ancient authors also like to know that ships in those days were made of wood and metal nails. So draw a parallel between the cross. The mainmast of the ship with its crosspiece, the shape of the cross. The nails, of course, we're familiar with. By staying in the ship, we cling to the cross. But as we do, we hear courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Our faith, like Peter's, is something the Lord can use and build on. That's why we affirm with the disciples, truly, you are the Son of God.